This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 26th of September, 2023, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. I've got a different kind of show today. We are getting back at it. PLP Year in Review, Part 2. PLP 2-Year Review, Part 2. As always, a little housekeeping, and we're giving away some money this morning at the top of the show. I want to say, to get it started, happy birthday and belated birthday to Michelle Mitchell, my good cousin, Corey Green Lambert, my good sister, and Anya Mitchell-Charles, my goodest cousin. Happy birthday to all of y'all. Also, coming up soon for the National Heroes Weekend, the Hanhasty Tynes Clan is hosting a family grill and chill at Hepburn Beach Coral Harbor. Find the HHT Facebook group for more details. There you go.
We just can't see like that. Just leave it. What do you mean, grill and chill?
Hold on. Producer, check his mic for me, please. Check your volume. Okay, I can hear you now.
What do you mean grill and chill? You explain what you mean by grill and chill.
We could be grilling and y'all could be chilling.
Is there a fee for it?
There's or a cost. I just throwing it out there.
Is it true?
Yeah. No, just there's a cost.
HHT, you don't say it. Just throw it out there. There's a whole family.
So listen, for $25, you coming down to the beach.
Uh-huh.
We can provide the sun. Yeah. We're going to provide the wind.
Okay.
Salt water, fresh water, even some sand.
So who are going to come to this thing?
If you're Hanhasty and Tynes, you must be there.
Okay.
If you know Hanhasty and Tynes, you must get an invite to come. Just tell them, I come in with you.
And why are you all having grill and chill?
Because we're a family and we need to...
It's not a fundraiser or anything like that?
I mean, it is a fundraiser.
But you need to let people know.
I mean, just get into it. I just warming people up.
I like my steak cooked and warm, not lukewarm. That does sound like steak.
You like it grilled.
Yeah, properly. So you're all having a grill out.
Yeah, we have a grill out. There's going to be hamburgers, hot dogs, chicken plates available, right? We're still working on some of the higher end details. Mm-hmm. But for $25 a ticket, you're going to get sun, sand, sea, a little bit of pool, a little bit of family, a little bit of drinks, libations.
If you're remotely related to the Hanhasty and Tynes, you got to come.
You absolutely. Okay. In fact, if you think you're related to the Hanhasty and Tynes, you should come out and find out if you're a family member.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Come and take your DNA test.
Mark, you coming, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I suspect there's a Trapsy gene that you have that is only found in the HHT clan. Anyway, let's get on to the on-the-clock sand dollar trivia giveaway for the rest of the month of September. We're giving away $30 in sand dollars to our winners. To be eligible to win, you must have a digital wallet and answer the trivia question correctly. When you call in, give the producer your name, number, and wallet information. I'm going to transfer you back to the producer if you get the question correct to confirm that information. Remember, listeners are restricted to one transfer for the duration of the competition. You can only win once. Numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, toll-free for people in the Bahamas, but not on New Providence. And our text line is always powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Yes, they will have lemonade, and I'm hoping that we will have Ganep lemonade. I just need to find some slave labor to peel these Ganep. Children back in school now. Business costs gone up tremendously. Here's the first question.
So Aaron, you know, do you remember back in the day?
Let me ask a question, Mark. All right,
go.
Let me ask a trivia question.
Oh, it's a trivia question.
Right,
go,
it's a sand dollar on the clock trivia question. Okay. You have to have a digital wallet to win. Gotcha. $30 in sand dollars. First question of the day. On what day was the House of Assembly most recently prorogued? On what day was the House of Assembly most recently prorogued? On what day was the House of Assembly prorogued? And I'll give you all a little clue. It was this year. Mm-hmm. I give you all that. It was this year. On what day was the House of Assembly prorogued? 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Text line powered by BTC. 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. On what day was the House of Assembly prorogued? Text that is not the correct answer. But I can't tell you all what the wrong answer is because you may get the right answer. So, good morning, gentlemen. In studio with me is Mr. Mark Palmer and Mr. C.A. Newry. We are continuing the PLP 2-year review. Mr. Newry, are you ready?
I'm always ready, man.
You want me to read through the whole list?
Read through the whole list. Look, we'll explain to them exactly. I know you say PLP review, but what is the objective today? So me and Mark and I can follow suit properly so the listening audience can understand what is it we're attempting.
All right. So we are reviewing the Davis administration's performance over the last 2 years.
Okay.
Since they have assumed the government and governance. We are going through, I've created the list. Feel free to counter with another issue.
So do you want the texters to text in some issues also?
Yeah, if they feel that there's something that we've missed off the list, they should definitely text it in. I'm going to read through the entire list quickly, and then I'm going to identify the five items that I think we should talk about in the first hour, and then the five I think we should talk about in the next hour, Mr. Newry.
See, what would be good if we had some kind of criteria, you know, to measure them. Remember when there was a certain newspaper column that the aces, the knights, the aces, the jokers, the queens, and they went, do you remember that?
Yep.
And they used to take the view from, you know, pundits, academicians, local politicians, see. And that was always very interesting, wasn't it?
Absolutely. But I don't trust the current and prevailing grading systems. These people saying that the D is satisfactory, and quite frankly, I am opposed to that. So I don't want any of their grading systems. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure that maybe that the problem is the grading system itself. So
Jack was an adequate but not exceptional performer. So could we put the administration, or were they a king and above average?
And I'm less... I'm
competent,
not,
but not unspectacular.
Right. I'm not critiquing the ministers themselves and their performance at this time. We're looking at issues, right? Okay. Matters that have arisen. And so for my first producer, I see we got a call flashing there. For the first, let me read through the whole list. So number one is Parliament and Westminster Parliamentary Procedures. Number two, FTX. Number three, Dubai World Expo. Number four, the PM of Abaco. Number five, Colby and the Disappearing Officer. Number six, Toby Smith and the Invisible Signature. Number seven, the New National Sport. Number eight, what's the bill for the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium?
Ouch.
Number nine, Taxi Plate Gate. Number 10, rape culture and an increase in sexual violence. I want to stick a pin there. I see I've got a caller on the line. Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller. Are you calling to answer the trivia question?
No. I called pertaining to something else, if you don't mind.
Are you calling pertaining to the PLP 2-year review?
No. I have a little problem that needs to be reconciled. Okay, these people next door to me are destroying garbage on my premises, right?
Raymond, pause. I'm going to find an environmental health officer to help resolve this, okay?
Yeah, but the thing is, I went to the police over and over, and I asked the police to have them clean it up. One of them usually sells bottles, right? They had all their bottles stocked up on my premises.
Well, that's, thank you, Bremen. Now I know that I need somebody to come and collect the bottles on your premises, because obviously they belong to you now, and we got to figure out how we're going to sell them, since they're on your property and they belong to you. Okay? I can give you a call, Bremen. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. All right, I have got a couple of answers to the trivia question already on what day was Parliament prorogued. And I think we've got a winner. Parliament was prorogued on August the 12th, 2023. Parliament was prorogued on Saturday, August the 12th, 2023. Let me throw out the second trivia question quickly for the day for the on-the-clock sand dollar giveaway. Second question of the day. On what day will the House of Assembly reconvene? On what day will the House of Assembly open again? House of Assembly was prorogued on Saturday, 12th of August, 2023. On what day will the House of Assembly reopen and the session, new session start? There we go. Again, the answer for the first question, Parliament was prorogued on August the 12th, 2023. Okay, guys, so I got through 10. We got to rape culture and an increase in sexual violence. We continue the list. BPL, Wärtsilä pulls out partially. BPL, fuel surcharge rate increase policy. BPL, North Andres fire and oil leaks and other family island woes. NIB. The Sovereign Wealth Fund becomes the National Investment Fund. Confidential clauses, fines, and settlements. Ministry of Roads not working. Union busting. Media busting in the OPM press machine. Hurricane shelters and storm disaster preparation. And I want to stick on there right after that. Hurricane Dorian response, healthcare systems, the price of fuel and the retail margin, I hope you didn't forget about that, artificial intelligence, food security, crime, is it a crisis if the criminals are killing themselves, Nassau Cruise Port and downtown development, the education system, local government, beaches and parks, immigration, migrant crisis, housing crisis, labor crisis, national debt and government spending, communication sector crisis, Freedom of Information Act and the Information Commissioner, digitization of government records and services, who is collecting state revenue, and the blueprint for change. And the blueprint for change is just making an assessment of how well the government has lived up to the promises made in its manifesto. So the 10... I guess I can go through the 10 that we've selected for today. I have Parliament and Westminster parliamentary procedures. Mm-hmm. When we take a look at Parliament's performance and their ability or lack of ability to adhere to the most important Westminster parliamentary procedures, principles. Again, what's the bill for the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium? That one, because I'm still not quite certain what the cost is, what the final cost is. We're not even certain if they've completed all works on the stadium. And now that it appears as if the National Stadium, which is due to be closed for repairs, right, that's starting, then operations are going to move over to the baseball stadium. I think some of the National Sports Authority operations have moved over.
Yes, they moved over already.
So my first thing is, why? Why? It's like the PMH in the critical care wing. Remember when they were building the critical care wing and then it turned out that there was no actual critical care taking place in that wing and it was all administrative spaces?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Portia Smith Student Services building at COB when it was COB and it said student services, but there was no space really for students at all in the building. Is this the same thing where we got a baseball stadium with very little baseball happening in it because there's so many administrative needs that need to be taken care of? And what about, just one more thing, what about the insurance agency that was operating out of the stadium on the road traffic side? Are they moving over to the baseball stadium as well?
Everybody got to move in order to do refurbishment.
I don't have a problem with them moving, but why are they moving to the baseball stadium?
Because they have space.
No, they don't have space. They have space for baseball in the baseball stadium. And since I am hearing, this is alleged, this is nothing documented because I haven't seen any documentation of state expenditure in a very long time. We don't even know how much it costs.
No, we don't know how much it costs, but we have to appreciate how much it costs to operate. The stadium cannot pay for itself. It's a dead investment, right? It's it's the umpteen million dollars, and we will never get a return for the stadium.
But hold on. Surely with
turning on the light on the stadium costs too much.
Surely with the right sports programming, right,
mm-hmm.
and an emphasis on sports tourism, we could have the stadium generating a profit.
And I'll say no, because I know better. Every time we bring an international team here, we spend more money to get them here because we give exemptions.
I'm not saying let the same people manage it. I'm obviously, there's a problem with the management, right? Maybe there's a problem with their perspective on what's the purpose of the building.
Mm-hmm.
But has anybody even attempted to scope out what's required to generate a profit on it? And after the communications, after reading communications from the sports side, right, between mm-hmm. regional actors and international actors, and I'm getting the impression that the region sees Bahamas and the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium as an opportunity to develop real continuous baseball in the region.
However, few people realize that our government mitigate expenses. We pay for the tickets. Every ticket for a person that the Bahamians go to buy, our government actually gives a subsidy that we are able to afford it. Because we are not prepared to pay $50 for a ticket. This is how much a ticket would cost regularly. And our government said, okay, we can't charge $50. We'll charge $20 and we'll pay the balance to get people inside.
Now, listen, I appreciate your cost analysis, right? I appreciate the cost analysis. But is this when the stadium costs $10 million or is this now where we don't know how much the stadium costs? And
it's even worse now.
It's potentially 10 times what it originally cost.
It being just $10 million, that's what it would cost. Now it being $30, $40 million for the stadium, it should even be worse.
Is that the last
but, you know, assessment you saw? We had $20 million of overruns on the initial $10 million of the cost. So it's about $30 million for that stadium.
That's a reasonable...
So one of the big issues with that stadium is they never really spec'd it out. First of all, they never really talked to the stakeholders to find out what the stakeholders needed, right? So when they looked at it again after they started it, they found it wasn't correct for what the needs of the stakeholders were. And that's one of the reasons why one of the other reasons is increased cost. They say VAT, but they had to redesign it after they started building it to meet stakeholder needs. And so that's inexcusable. You know, they found it wasn't actually, that's not me, that's Pintar talking about it.
And this is beyond the fact that they actually oriented the stadium incorrectly?
Yeah.
Mm.
There were other construction things, but he said there were fundamental things missing from the original plans. Fundamental. That's not like we need to put an extra bathroom in. That's like fundamentally does not meet the needs of what it was intended to be designed for. That's just so sad.
They want administrative offices.
It makes you think that this is just some kind of money laundering.
We must still appreciate why there are administrative offices there to pay for the electricity bill and the maintenance of it.
Yeah.
And if you take those out, it would be unable to pay for itself.
No. With the current and existing model, business and operational model, it would be unable to take care of itself. But come on, man.
I don't think there's ever been a plan. I don't think these things are supposed to be profitable. But it would be good to have a plan to see how unprofitable they're going to be.
So when we acknowledge it as unprofitable, what do you do then?
But, you know, sometimes
you work on a plan to make it profitable.
But you see, we got to understand, again, how much a ticket needs to be. And I'm not sure Bahamians are prepared to pay for the ticket.
Hold on, this is what I'm saying. If we're going to put tourism, if we're going to make tourism the competent authority of the country,
okay,
right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to create an environment where tourism workers think that they are essential workers like police and defense force officers, right? They don't have to follow any traffic controls, right? They don't even have to see Bahamians, right? Like I run a taxi service, but not for locals, right? If we've allowed tourism to hold this space and take up so much energy, so many resources, so much time and people, surely the sports tourism platform can provide a workable model working with...
Absolutely, but these buildings, they should be multi-purpose because you don't have sports events every week. So they should have, you know, a purpose that is, you know, can generate funds for that.
Right.
You know, government will pay for the use of those facilities.
Right.
That makes
sense, cool,
right?
But are administrative offices generating that amount of money? Because it seems to me that you just diverting a rental payment from one entity to another, as opposed to entities that are generating revenue. And I accept the model and the cost analysis, right? Here's my next question, though. Why are administrative needs outweighing the actual purpose of the building and the structure? Why is it that baseball people can't use the baseball stadium to practice?
They ain't prepared to pay for it. They don't want to pay the fees to get access to it. They want to use it for free.
No.
And when you turn on the electricity, it could be $10,000 and say, who is to absorb this fee?
So here's two things, right? I'm a coach for Little League. Mm-hmm. Not a Little League. I'm a coach for junior high school. The pitch that's available to us don't have lighting.
Mm-hmm.
It don't have any security. They don't mow the field or remove the rocks regularly. They don't have bathroom access. But here is the stadium, whether it's a mile away or 10 feet away, here's the stadium on all the time. Bathrooms functional all the time. Lights on all the time. Secure all the time. I would want to use that facility too. Now, if I'm a junior high school, I shouldn't be paying the same as a training camp, a training club. But why would you want to charge your local training facilities the international prices?
And I'm not even sure if it's international prices, though. It's just the price. Just how much it costs.
But I need to see, here's what I'm saying. I need a clearer cost analysis.
And I agree with
I
that.
Need a different one. I don't need these people telling me how much I'm supposed to pay them because they don't seem to be managing anything appropriately.
But that's Bahamas Gym. So the issue now you identify that we have a management, Bahamian management crisis that we don't have here, people here locally who could seemingly manage the stadium properly. Now that might be a different issue, a different acknowledgement. But at this present time, to turn on either the stadiums, to have them just practice, it's not beneficial to us because of the price tag it would come with it. Eventually, it will crumble and collapse because the overruns in price will run us.
But do we understand the cost of building a baseball
Agreed.
Industry? Like, obviously, we don't understand the cost. Oh, producer, trivia? I don't see the light flashing red. Producer, the call online. Good morning, caller. You calling to answer the trivia?
Hello.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. No, it's not about the trivia. I just want to ask you a question, Aaron, in reference to the discussion you're having.
Yes.
On with the stadium and the you know, with the facilities.
Yeah.
And persons wanting to use the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Different organizations to practice or whatever have you.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked the question, why should they have to pay to use the facility, right?
Well, no. What I was saying was that why should local, like local schools, programs have to pay the same rate as larger bodies,
okay,
right? Juxtaposed to them being like you're saying to them, well, you have facilities available to you. You don't need to access the stadium to practice or do what you're doing, but do they really have facilities? Okay, are the bathrooms functional?
Okay, I'm clear. It's much clearer now, because I was thinking just in general, because I was going to use the analogy, and I want to see if it makes sense to you.
Yeah, man.
And the good morning, by the way, to your co-host and the guest. Is that it's like when you own a business, you run a business, mm-hmm. right? And you operate in this business, you're paying all of the expenses, rent, utilities, and everything, mm-hmm. whatever, overhead expenses. And you have family members, your children or whatever, your husband, your whatever, and they come in the store, and they go and grab a bag, and they just take everything now, whatever they want, you know, bags or whatever, the trolley full, and they just walk out of the store, and you do the same. And you end up with zero, you know, in that negative, in a negative. So I just want to use that analogy, but I understand what you're saying about the junior athlete, you know, athletes, or the students,
yeah,
being able to use it, but at a very minimal cost, because they're going to have to be responsible for uniforms and other items that they need. So it's a difference in reference to the young, you know, the younger athletes. I just wanted to put that in there. I'll hang up and listen to your response to my question.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I agree. I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with Mr. Palmer, Mr. Newry, that maintaining the stadium has a cost. So how are you going to generate those costs? My thing is that you have to allow for the access, right? And access has to be equitable. So I don't expect a agency that's signing athletes to international teams, I don't expect them to go in for free, and I don't expect them to pay the same rate as JJ's summer baseball camp, you know?
Exactly. We're trying to enhance our youngsters so that they can become the Chisholms and, you know, the future, you know, internationally. So thank you so much for taking my call.
And absolutely. And then, and also putting down the point that, you know, is the state taking care of the other facilities?
And that's an entirely different issue. And I don't want to belabor the point, because I know you have one or two more points that you want to hash out.
Yeah.
But imagine the yearly December 24th football, college football league.
Right. I think, is it Matchmakers now? The parent organization, I think.
It could be.
Yeah.
But and it could be wrong with the date, but let's use December 24th.
Yeah, the Christmas Bowl game, yeah.
Orange Bowl, whatever it is, right? On December 24th, the most busiest time in the Bahamas in terms that everybody is busy shopping. In the middle of the day, right, when people at work, they're having it at 12 o'clock in the middle of the day, they have imported two of the premier college football teams to play football.
Yeah.
And they give away tickets. I mean, begging behemoth, say, man, whatever it is, we're giving you all the VIP tickets, because we need to get the stadium not half full, not quarter full. We're trying to get 40 people inside here. That's all we want. We go and have 40 people in the side of the stadium that can hold 2,000. Right?
Yeah.
And they have struggling to do that. We have given them all kind of, what give backs is? What do you call those things?
Concessions.
All kind of concessions and incentives to come here and do that. And we realized that we are losing money like crazy. And then we see the promotion and advertisements say, okay, it's in the Bahamas, right? They didn't zoom in to advertise anything inside the Bahamas. It's just the College Bowl that they have. It's not working.
Stick a pin. It's not working because it's not being worked properly. Mm-hmm. Producer, can we go to the phone line and see if that's a caller for the trivia? It's not working because we... Turn down your radio, please. Good morning, caller. No problem. That model can work. The model is intended to attract tourists, right, who are in the Bahamas at the busiest time of the year for Bahamian culture and may not find activities that they can easily fit into, right? And so the game is to entertain tourists. It's not, the model's not being worked properly. You've got to get your cruise ships involved in promoting the event. The event is for people to come off of cruise ships and out of hotels to go watch a football Christmas game. You're supposed to attract, the Ministry of Tourism is supposed to go out into those football-loving communities and bring them back here for this particular game. I mean, let me go to this caller. I love the point that you made. It's a great model. It's not being worked properly because the people in charge of it, I don't think they really have the empathy necessary to push it. Good morning, caller.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
How are you?
Not bad. I want to speak about the baseball stadium.
Yeah, man.
You know, remember, they broke down the old stadium because of the track and field stadium, right? And when we played junior league baseball and senior league baseball, Farmers Baseball Association baseball, not private league like JBL and Freedom Farm,
mm-hmm.
right? We played in the stadium, Andre Rogers Stadium, because that was the only stadium, the only diamond in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. You see, and the size of the field was right size for the junior and senior baseball. You see? So fast forward to now, there's no baseball stadium for junior and senior league baseball outside the private leagues. And now that baseball is in the high schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means that the high school players, they are junior league and senior league level players. So
yes.
Therefore, no fears for them. So where should they be playing? For them to play, they got to go to a Freedom Farm or JBLN for them to play ball. You see, places like Freedom Farm and JBLN, they have facilities. They have facilities for camps, you know, on any level.
Yeah.
You see? So that baseball stadium, as it is, right, it needs maintenance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a public stadium. Public funds are spent that provided that stadium. So I feel like high school shouldn't be, that's not a field to be used every day for practice. That's not a practice
right.
field. You see, the JBLN and Freedom Farm, they don't practice at JBLN and Freedom Farm. They practice all over. They practice on the Southern Recreation Ground, all over they practice. At Windsor Park, you know?
All right. Thank
you understand
you.
What I'm saying?
I got
would the poor kids need? They need facilities at their schools like a batting cage.
I got you.
That's for one. If we're concerned about the poor youth and playing baseball, right? See, they baseball is for the rich kids, not for the poor kids.
I got you.
Understand me? So
they
need every school.
Yes, sorry about that. I don't know what happened, but thank you very much, gentlemen.
So we love all these grandiose looking buildings, right?
Or these no
that
ideas
aren't really. I mean,
it's not the building; it's the idea. It's not the building that they like. It's the idea that they like, because you could see if they like the buildings, they would maintain them. They would love them enough to maintain them. They like these grandiose ideas, I think, and are unable to bring them to realization. A text says, "I heard the stadium is too big." I heard proposed by someone else. I can't recall who it may have been. Alpheus or Ambi, that it should have been a 2,000 to 5,000 seater, something the size of a U.S. high school stadium. You could fill a smaller stadium for regular events. I got you. Producer? All right. I've got an answer from a text question today, the second text question. The question was, on what day will the House of Assembly reopen? And the date is Wednesday, the 4th of October, 2023. Thank you, Texter. I got a quick notice to read from Guardian Family of Companies from Guardian Radio before we go to a break. The deadline has been extended, calling on all junior and senior high students. You could win a brand new iPad for the new school year. Enter the Plato Alpha Design Essay Competition. All you have to do is write a strong and convincing essay on the topic, what does going digital mean to you? For junior high students, your word limit is 1,000 words. For senior high students, your word limit is 1,500 words. To enter, email your essay along with your name, school, and grade level, as well as your parents' contact information. Email alpha@platoalpha.com by September 30th. The winners will be announced on Guardian Radio next month. The winner for each category walks away with a brand new iPad. Again, the deadline has been extended to September 30th. It's the Plato Alpha Essay Competition, powered by Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. All right, guys, back to another item on the list.
Government.
Yeah.
Government.
Indeed.
But, you know, the proroguing thing was an interesting thing. So I know the first thing you mentioned was the parliamentary procedures.
Yes.
This was a good example of, you know, you've heard of the separation of powers. You know, all the executive, judiciary, legislative should be separated. And this was an example of how there isn't any separation of power between the executive, the cabinet, and the legislature, the House of Assembly. So they were cut off by the executive, effectively, and they weren't given the right to continue. And so that's kind of a weakness of the Westminster system.
Now,
that can be exploited, right?
Right. Do you think members of the governing party were upset, or just members of the opposition party upset?
I think it was, you answered that question. I think it was probably the opposition, right?
Right.
I think they wanted to have that open parliament. But it gives an example of how, are we really truly democratic when these, you know, these rights can be just overridden like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I thought it odd, considering that the House was intended to reconvene August 16th, and then all of a sudden there's August 12th proroguing.
Yeah, I mean, it caused such a stink, and I think that was one of the reasons, you know, the outcome of that general snap election, because I don't think people are stupid. They know something's going on, right?
Right. And you said what was coming up was an open parliament session?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same as question day?
I think that was what it was, where you would, you know, the public were able to ask questions.
Oh, no, that's separate from question day. Question day is just parliamentarians. Is that a formal open session? Is that what Halston Moultrie had organized in the last FNM administration?
That's a good question, I believe. I mean, he was a big critic.
Mr. Newry, remember they had at least one open session. I don't think it was official.
I think it was a reading of the speech from the throne that was held in outside.
No. Remember when Halston Moultrie attempted to have like a people's parliament, and then somehow his government, because that is FNM, they sort of blocked it.
Okay,
and then
process prorogue or something like that.
Right. They blocked it, but Moultrie organized the event. They hosted the event anyway.
Yes.
And a number of leading advocates and
no parliamentarians.
Right. Came out and spoke. I think maybe one or two brave.
I think four. I think I saw four or five. I was there that day.
Yeah. I think there were a couple of brave rogues out there.
They didn't get it. Didn't win their seat, did they?
Mark, did they win their seat?
Who?
The four rogues.
Yeah, probably not. No.
Yeah, that's why they were out there. Even the host speaker
they
couldn't
win a seat.
They could sense what was coming.
But I want to analyze this, whether the current administration, and when I say the current administration, I mean the government and also the Speaker of the House, right? It's time for breaking, right?
No.
The Speaker of the House, are they managing the House of Assembly properly?
Yeah.
And so that should be the question. And that should be the critique. Is it being managed properly? Is the House Speaker doing an adequate job? The proroguing of the House out of the blue, the lack of information about the members of Parliament.
Disclosure. And declaration.
We still have no clue. And it seems that nobody's up in arms.
Yeah.
Nobody is concerned. And is that a testimony to the PLP administration that the Prime Minister has yet to say, yes, my side has done this.
Right.
I'm not sure about the other side, but I can attest that. Should we critique them, the PLP administration, of doing a poor job regarding this?
Of course we should. It's one of the most fundamental checks of Westminster system.
I was so disappointed because when current Prime Minister, when he was in opposition, he wrote a letter to Civil Society Bahamas. And I remember reading it. I haven't got it here, but it was really well thought out. It was really, you know, insightful about how he was going to lead this charge to become more transparent and accountable. And we were like really optimistic when we read this. And there were a lot of examples of what they were going
to
do.
Mark, you need to send me that letter, man.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, but it, like you say, it, disappointment, you know, public disclosure, that's such low-hanging fruit, right? To give people confidence that at least something is going right or something's being enforced. Because, you know, my friend Janet, she says, Mark, we have way too many rules. We don't need more rules. We just need to enforce the rules that we have in place.
Yeah. But it's more than just troubling. This is a fundamental issue. Then couple it with the fact that disclosures haven't been gazetted, declarations haven't been gazetted, and the disclosure list since 2011.
2018 or 2011?
I think it's 2011, and those records only go back to 2008. So it was gazetted in 2011, but it only captures up to 2008.
Mm-hmm. What I'm surprised about, you know, a lot of these people are lawyers, right? And they have managing partners that manage their law firms to make sure that every dot is, you know, dotted, every T is crossed. Why can't they bring some of those skills to the legislature? Yeah. Make sure that all the things that are supposed to be done are ticked off. You have this list and you just go through it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I wonder if that's Mr. Nurita's job of the speaker or the deputy speaker or their clerks whose job it is to ensure these things get done. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, morning, Aaron, and morning to your guests.
Morning.
Yeah, I call out and say comment on the stadium.
Okay.
I think what happened, you know, when baseball was to be played, the years gone by, they had lightning and everything, and I never hear nobody complain about paying no money for no lightning in them days. But moving ahead, when they broke down the stadium, they never put one up till years after. And I think where they went wrong, they should have got a person who knows about designing a stadium and say how much they was willing to spend. And I think that's where they went wrong. They let some local person do it. And that's why a lot of things was devil. So if you intend to spend $20 million for a stadium, you say that what you want, and how much seat that going to be. Like the person say 2,000 or whatever seat, that would have been fine for the Bahamas. But then what they did, they just gone ahead and, a local person draw it up. And then the price keep going up and up, because I think when Bannister was there, it was designed to be for $30 million. And then when Bannister them got out of power, it gone up to about $60 million. And, you know, but again, I think that was designed that was badly designed, and they never gone about it the right way. And that's why we stuck with this, you know.
Another thing. Stuck with another thing.
Yeah. That's what happened.
Like we
see, like they say, baseball was trying to get off the ground, though, because night league going down. I know, and the caller talking about rich and this and that. No, a lot of poor people play baseball.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
So, you know.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, caller. Like I say, it's troubling to me. This isn't even like a high security level issue, right? Like this isn't a national security level issue, but this is a massive issue. Because is everything going to go this way, right? A stadium that's obsolete before we could even host one international event in it.
Yeah.
A baseball stadium that may cost 10 times its original budget because it's not finished yet, right? We got a massive road work system on the capital, in the main island, with no cutouts, no emergency cutouts, no place to pull to the side if the police come in, or if you have an emergency with your car. Is everything in the country going to go this way? A critical care wing, the first major renovation at PMH, and there's no actual facility for patients?
It will continue because it's a top-down approach, right? There's no real constructive engagement of stakeholders. Because if they did, just going back to this Andrew Rogers Field, you know, if they had constructive engagement at that local level, they would have not misdesigned that space.
Yeah.
But there seems to be a group of people that think they know everything, right? They know better than us about the roads, about the hospital, and, you know, they get these consultants from overseas and so on, but they don't actually do the most important thing, which is go to Aaron and other people like Aaron and say, what is the problem that we're trying to solve?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, you asked the question thinking that, you know, definition of madness is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, right?
Yeah.
So unless that changes.
We're going to see
that. And it's actually incredibly beneficial, you know, when you listen to people, because a lot of people have some damn good ideas. You know, Bahamians are smart.
Absolutely. And it behooves you, it's mm-hmm. to your benefit to create listening mechanisms, right? Mm-hmm. So that you could receive as much information as possible from stakeholders.
This is like a case study of mm-hmm. how not to do it.
Yeah.
We could actually publish this and say, give it to the world and say, this is how not to build a baseball stadium. Isn't that sad?
And this is how not That's to so build sad. A sporting platform.
Yeah.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron and your guests. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Hi, good day.
I want to say as positive as I can in this few remarks I have, but I think that the everyone is saying the right things inside the studio this morning about the challenges in our country. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I think we, the public, is frustrated most about is that we know what's wrong, and we are very frustrated because we see it happening over and over, and nothing's changing. Mm-hmm. We could all agree that there should have been more stakeholder engagement. Why wasn't there? We could all agree that the critical care block is woefully challenging in every aspect of everything we look at in our country, and we all know what's wrong. The problem is we see the problem, and we seemingly cannot address it because, to me, from my point as a citizen and a part of a lot of these discussions, is that the same thinking is continually circulated around and around the decision-making table where they don't really understand that the public is seeing the challenges. The public is seeing what's wrong. The public is recognizing that this no longer could take us for the next 50 years. So in closing, I hope that the next generation, I have to hope that the next generation of leaders, of politicians, of persons who want the best for this country, do differently, because I believe it is a case study of how not to do things. And finally, on closing, Aaron, you said it correctly, and the gentleman, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name inside there, but he said it correctly. If the low-hanging fruit is accountability, fill out a form that says, I own this. If the persons who lead me cannot do that, I really doubt they can do anything that I don't question moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
You know, we need more project managers.
Mm. You yes. know,
and I think we have a big dearth of project managers within government agencies. If we could just invest in that so they can, you know, look at the key objectives, timelines, you know, the risk factors, you know, all those things which we can, you know, in hindsight, they're easy to see, but it would have been helpful if they've been, you know, at least discovered beforehand or looked at beforehand. So I think investment in that area would be just a great idea.
Right. So while the public service ministry responsible for the public service is formulating a policy institute to ensure that local technical resources can absorb, right, the skill set coming in from our foreign consultants, maybe in that space they can create a project management model or course mm-hmm. for any level of public service member.
Because what that execution is our weakness, really.
Absolutely. We got the resources, we got mm-hmm. the ideas, mm-hmm. it's our inability to
and
individually...
It can be it can be remedied.
Yeah, our inability to individually understand what's in front of us and then our inability to collectively realize or actualize what's in front of us. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. 2, 3. Sorry, something's wrong with your volume. All right, Mr. Nuri. Eh? We are at that 11 o'clock moment. I hate to say, it's like when we end the show, it's like we're going to be closing the session and we could be opening a new session. I have a feeling you could be the prime minister when we open the new session.
Only for a short while.
Ah, boy. I bet it's only for an hour. Mm-hmm. I want to throw this on the table. I'm going to pull a Fidel right now and surprise you with a parliamentary issue. I want to throw this on the table for issues to be discussed, even though it's not on the list.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we need to look at turn left on red. Law, implementation of that law, enforcement of that law. I want to look at that. I think that's a great, quote-unquote, issue to use to assess the performance of this Davis administration over the last 2 years. And here's why. Because this is an example of something that the PLP inherited, right? This is something that this Davis administration could truly say, this was on the table before we got to government, right? We didn't create it, but, and I want us to assess their response to it. And I think it's a great snapshot into the performance of this Davis administration. I want to read our Alpha Plato, Plato Alpha Design essay competition notice one more time before we end this hour, gentlemen. Again, the deadline has been extended. Calling all junior and senior high students, you could win a brand new iPad for the new school year. Enter the Plato Alpha Design essay competition. All you have to do is write a strong and convincing essay on the topic, what does going digital mean to you? For junior high students, your word limit is 1,000 words. For senior high students, your word limit is 1,500 words. To enter, email your essay along with your name, school, and grade level, as well as your parents' contact information. Email alpha@platoalpha.com by September 30th. The winners will be announced on Guardian Radio next month. That's the month of October. The winner for each category walks away with a brand new iPad. Again, the deadline has been extended to September 30th. It's the Plato Alpha Essay Competition, powered by Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Producer, play that music, please. Play that music, that sweet closing music. And last text, somebody said, Aaron, what taxi driver told you they don't pick up locals? We'd have to have a conclave for that. Plenty taxis don't pick up locals. Simple. Ain't no big thing. That's apparently an industry practice. Anyway, you've been On the Clock with Aaron Green. In the next hour, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Palmer. Maybe you'll stick around for the next hour.
We shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. Have a great day, Bahamas.